series on Last Days at Work, two former rugby union players talk about the challenges they faced.
Roy Beatus in the line, can win another face. Out wide it comes to Ungerer. Ungerer to Will James. Can Will James batter his way over the line? He's over the line. He gets the ball down. The try will surely be confirmed. It is confirmed by referee Gutrain.
Will James, a professional rugby player for 20 years.
And it's a good play. And second row forward, Will James.
He finished up playing for Gloucester. Gloucester Rugby in the English Premiership and was there for nearly 9 seasons. I was lucky enough to play for Wales in the 2007 World Cup, where I achieved 4 caps. Japan, England, France, Australia.
Will James gets what must be a rare touchdown for the Cherry and Whites in the 5th minute here at King's Home. It's Gloucester 5, beg the ball, don't
they? I was lucky enough to be able to play until 37, which is fairly unheard of, especially these days with the dynamic of professional rugby. It's a physical game. And something that always goes through your mind is, what am I going to do after I finish playing rugby? It's a big decision for a lot of sports people, especially ones which have really done nothing else since leaving school. Well, I was quite lucky because the role which I've taken on after rugby in the last 2 or 3 months, I actually interviewed for last year in June of 2013. I was accepted for the role. The role was put off or held for a year for me. So I pretty much knew that whole last season I was going to retire.
Stuke, a wide ball out for Stuke, a chance for Gloucester to score in the corner, and they will score on that far side. Tremendous opening passenger play from the chain race.
I was determined really to enjoy that last year. The last sort of 4 to 6 weeks just went in a blink of an eye, really. It was different, to say the least, but it wasn't particularly depressing or emotional or anything like that actually on the field, because I sort of had time to prepare. I knew what I was going to be doing afterwards, and it was just a seamless sort of progression, really.
Speedy off this crossfield kick. Can Shuffles get the bounce? Shuffles for the corner. He's got the ball. He's over the line. He's touched it down. What vision by Freddie Burns. What pace of Charlie Sharp.
I didn't play the very last game of the season against Worcester away. I played the week before, and that was against London Irish at King's Home. And it was a fantastic day. It was a beautiful sort of early summer's day, really. And more or less a full house. And my children were there, and they had a chance to walk out of King's Home. And it's when it's full of 17,000 people, it's a great environment. I really enjoyed that day, actually. It was fantastic, and it wouldn't have mattered if we won or lost, but we did win. And, yeah, it was a great day. But it was slightly strange at the end of that day to sort of sit in change rooms and think, well, actually, this is it. Or this could be the last game. And, you know, suddenly, like in any sort of high-pressure environment or any job, really, 1 minute you're there, the next minute you're gone.
Pace over the halfway line. He's got support from Monaghan. Monaghan, can he beat the tensions of Marlon Yard? He bounces off Yard. He's got tremendous touchdown in the quarter. What work by Shane Monaghan. That'll boost his confidence. Yard couldn't bring him down. And Monaghan gets his second try of the afternoon, applauded by James.
I'm Damien Hopley. I'm the Group Chief Executive of the Rugby Players Association in England. I stopped playing due to injury back in 1997. I never officially retired, but I definitely won't be coming back for the Sevens in Rio in 2016. I retired due to a series of knee injuries. I was captain of the England Sevens team in Hong Kong in 96, picked up a anterior cruciate tear and lots of other damage to my knee. And as a result of that, I had 8 operations to try and correct it. And they couldn't put me back together again. So that was the beginning of the end. And I was 27 and had to walk away from the sport that I love.
Can you remember the last game that you played?
I can. It was rather ignominious surroundings at Saracen's old ground at Southgate, which was affectionately known as Dogshit Park. People used to literally walk dogs across the field as we were playing. And I picked up a tackle. My knee, having been repaired, went again, and I knew exactly what had happened immediately. I knew that I'd re-torn my ACL. And knew that really that was the beginning of the end for me. So I had to call up the surgeon and book in some more time and start with all the rehab again and the loneliness of trying to get back into, I guess, just normal life rather than playing rugby. Just the way that the knee caved in, the physical movement of the knee at the time was so similar to when it happened in Hong Kong when I was captain of the England Sevens team, that I knew it was a similar injury, and I knew that the instability of the joint meant that it probably was exactly the same, that the repair hadn't taken, the graft hadn't worked, and I'd have to start all over again. didn't really impact until sort of weeks, months later, when you realise that, without sounding too melodramatic, it's almost like a bereavement, because a part of you stops. And I guess I went through those five stages of death and dying, as per sort of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and the denial and the bargaining and the anger. And then, funnily enough, I actually met a chap called David Boost, who played for Coventry City against Manchester United. We were doing a TV show together, and David Boost infamously shattered his tib and fib playing at Old Trafford. And there's a horrendous photograph of him being tackled by Brian McClare, and basically his legs points one way and his foot points the other. And I met him doing this television programme, and he'd had 19 operations at that stage. And slowly but surely, I met other people like Sid Lawrence, the cricketer who shattered his kneecap playing for England in the Caribbean, I think. And it dawned on me that actually I wasn't that badly off, and I had an education, and I could do other things in my life. And I needed to just get a hold of what had happened, put it into context and move forward. And having said that, it probably took me about 2 to 3 years to actually mentally overcome what had happened. And I was probably depressed over that time, but didn't realise it, because I was just so self-absorbed. It was my everything, and it became all-consuming.
It's something which you have to sort of square away in your mind, that part of your sort of life, which has been more or less all my life since, well, played rugby since I was about five and enjoyed it. Went to school, did a bit of work when I left school at sort of 16, 17, for probably about 8 or 9 months. When I say work, I mean a non-professional sporting environment. And that's been part of my life since then, really. So you do, as I said, you have to sort of square it away and say, well, that's finished. I'm moving on to my next stage of my life, which is going to be different.
Here I was at 26, 27... trying to find a sense of identity for myself, and trying to come to terms with a very low self-esteem, because I didn't recognise me not as a rugby player, and all the psychological issues that go with that. So then from there, it was a case of, right, well, what else can I do? And having met the likes of David Boost and Sid Lawrence and other people, sort of come to terms with what's gone on physically and move on.
Slightly different to the football model, or the slightly higher paid professional sports, where when you do retire, you're able to retire and basically just live off your earnings, which you've accumulated over the last sort of 20 years. So the majority of rugby players have that decision to make when they finish. What they're going to do? Are they going to play until the very last contract is offered to them? Or are they going to be proactive and think, well, you know, it could be 2 or 3 years more of playing, and then I should start thinking about having a career, upskilling or getting something under my belt which is going to allow me to have a long career and one which is enjoyable after rugby?
Yeah, rugby's only been professional for 18 years. But in that time, it's quickly become institutionalised. It's very similar to a military environment, a services environment, where everything is done for you. You know, you're in a sort of cosseted environment, and then you have to take yourself out of that and get into the real world. And I think that throws up a lot of challenges for players. And I guess one of the places that we as the Players Association have been very strong on, in conjunction with the RFU and indeed the Premiership clubs, is looking at what we call our player development programme. So that's trying to help players whilst they're playing have interests away from the sport.
The most frustrating thing about being a professional sportsman is the fact that, especially with a family, children in school, is that every 18 months or even every 12 months, there's the possibility that you may have to move house, there's a possibility you may be unemployed. And as the year rolls round, you sort of sign a new contract, say in January. 9 months later, less than that, you're already negotiating for the following year. So that's an issue of security, really, and that's what really drove me to look at other options.
I think one of the challenges rugby players in particular have is, this is a very physical sport. You know, you're used to knocking lumps out of people week in, week out, and I think to then stop doing that is hard. So one of the things we talk about to our retirees is find a physical challenge to get into soon after you retire, because you need to channel that energy. And the number of former players I've spoken to who get under their wives' feet, who get Saturday afternoon and they're sort of walking around Morrison's thinking, I used to be entertaining 20,000 people, and it's a real step change. So, you know, you can't replicate that. So what can you do to actually provide some adrenaline or some physical challenge?
My body does feel a little bit better at the moment.